Right. Hey, everyone, welcome to the deep dive. I think all of us here at CMU, especially in CS and stats and ML, well, we've all pulled those all-nighters,
Oh, yeah.
right? Trying to get some tricky algorithm to work. And what if your computer could kind of do that learning for you? That's kind of the magic behind reinforcement learning, or as we call it, RL. It's not just about like crunching data, it's about machines actually learning by doing. And getting rewarded when they do good things and refining their strategies over time. So,
Like all those self-driving car projects that we've got going on right here on campus.
oh, yeah.
RL is like a core part of that. It's how those cars are learning to like navigate, make decisions on the fly, and hopefully
Right.
not run over too many squirrels out there.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's what I love about RL. It's not just some theory, it's like impacting the real world. So, let's get into it. How does this all work?
Well, it all starts with this framework called a Markov decision process, or MDP, as we call it.
Right, MDP.
So think of it like this: you're designing a robot to
Oh.
navigate like the crazy hallways of Wien Hall, right?
I've gotten lost in there a few times.
Yeah, exactly. So
Yeah.
like the MDP is the blueprint for that challenge. It defines all the possible like places the robot could be in.
Okay.
That's what we call the state space.
State space.
And then like every single move it can make.
Got it.
That's the action space. And then all the rules about like how taking those actions lead to new states, that's the transition function.
Okay, so we've got the robot, we've got the map of Wien Hall, and we've got the rules. But how does the robot know what's a good move and what's like a terrible move?
So that's where the reward function comes in.
Okay.
So like imagine your reward function gives the robot points for reaching a professor's office,
Okay.
and then like negative points for bumping into a wall or, heaven forbid, falling down the stairs.
Yeah, don't want that.
So the robot's goal is to maximize its reward over time,
Okay.
which means finding the best sequence of actions to navigate the building. That's what we call the optimal
The
policy.
optimal policy. Okay, so it's like we're giving the robot a map of Wien Hall, and then we're also giving it a motivational system all in one. Okay, cool. All right. But finding that optimal policy seems really tough. How do we actually do that?
So one classic method is called policy iteration.
Okay.
And this assumes we know all the rules of the game up front, like the layout of Wien Hall and what happens when you take any action.
Okay.
So think of it like dynamic programming,
Okay.
but with like a little bit of uncertainty mixed in.
Got it. But knowing everything in advance, I mean, that seems pretty unrealistic for like most real world problems. Where if that robot runs into a, surprise pizza delivery guy blocking the hallway.
That's where things get really interesting. So,
Right.
in situations where we don't have perfect knowledge, we turn to these things called Monte Carlo methods.
Monte Carlo. Okay.
So, imagine the robot exploring Wien Hall, but like blindfolded, bumping around, but it remembers which paths led to rewards and which ones led to like penalties.
Got it.
So over time, it builds up this understanding of the environment just based on its experience.
Okay, so it's like trial and error, but the computer's keeping track of like every win and every loss. Oh, okay, I get that. But it seems like these methods rely on like knowing the value of every single spot in Wien Hall, which could be a problem if our robot, has to consider like an infinite number of places. It could be.
And that's where things get really exciting because what we need is a way to generalize our
Okay.
learning from a finite number of experiences to like,
Okay.
an infinite number of situations. And that's where function approximation comes in.
Function approximation.
So instead of having like this giant lookup table of values for every single state,
Okay.
we use a model, something like a neural network, to
Okay.
represent that value
So
function.
neural networks. I mean, this is where our CMU expertise really comes in.
And this allows us to handle continuous spaces and deal with all those like pesky infinite possibilities.
So we're teaching the robot to recognize patterns instead of memorizing every single step. Okay, that makes sense. But I have a feeling there's even more to this. What happens when we want to go beyond just estimating values and we actually want to shape how the robot makes decisions?
You're on the right track. That's where we get into this area called policy gradient methods.
Policy gradient methods.
So imagine we just ditch the idea of calculating values for every state
Okay.
and we focus on like directly optimizing the robot's actions.
Okay.
We want to fine-tune its policy so it chooses the best move in any situation.
So we're like streamlining the learning process. Okay, what are the advantages of doing that?
Well, think of it like this policy gradient methods are like teaching a robot to dance.
Okay.
Instead of breaking down every single foot movement and evaluating each step, you let the robot experiment freely and you reward it for smooth moves and, graceful transitions.
So we're giving the robot more creative freedom to just try things out.
Exactly.
Okay, that's pretty powerful, especially for tasks that involve a bunch of actions in a row, like dancing or navigating a crowded hallway.
Exactly. And here's where it gets really cool. Policy gradient methods can handle probabilistic actions,
Okay.
which means the robot can like learn to be a little random in its behavior. It might choose a less optimal path just to see what happens, which can lead to more robust and adaptable behavior.
So we're like giving the robot a personality it can explore and experiment.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm into that, but how do we optimize these policies directly?
We use a technique called gradient descent.
Okay.
On a policy objective function, it's like guiding the robot's behavior uphill towards better and better performance.
Uphill.
And one way to do that is with this algorithm called reinforce.
Reinforce. All right, but wouldn't training a robot like this require like tons of data and a bunch of engineers like babysitting it?
Not necessarily. That's where this other fascinating concept comes in called self-play.
Self-play.
Yeah. What if the robot could learn by just playing against itself?
Wait, so the two robots battling it out in Ween Hall?
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
Think about it, by playing against itself, it's always facing an opponent of equal skill.
Right.
So it's constantly pushing itself to improve.
Right.
This eliminates the need for external data or like pre-programmed opponents. The robot becomes its own teacher.
Wow, that's a really cool idea. It's like learning from its own successes and its own failures.
Exactly.
Okay, and have people actually use this technique.
Yeah, absolutely. AlphaGo Zero,
Okay.
the AI that mastered Go,
Wow.
it learned entirely through self-play, no human data.
That's amazing. So this is like the power of RL in action.
Exactly.
Okay, but let's bring it back down to earth. How can our fellow COE students
Yeah.
get their hands dirty with RL
Yeah.
and start experimenting? Is there a way to like test these techniques out without, needing a self-driving car?
Yeah, there's this great Python library called Gymnasium,
Okay.
developed by OpenAI. It's like a virtual playground for RL.
Gymnasium. Okay, so it's like a simulator for RL agents.
Exactly. You can test out your algorithms on classic control problems like balancing a pole on a cart or teach your agent to play Atari games.
Wait, so I could build an RL agent that could like play Pac-Man better than me. Okay, I'm
Absolutely.
sold. I need to download this gymnasium thing.
You absolutely should. And it's not just for beginners. Gymnasium provides the standardized framework
Okay.
that lets you compare different RL algorithms and benchmark your results against like the research community.
Cool. So it's like a valuable tool for anyone who wants to explore RL.
Exactly.
Awesome. All right. Well, I think our listeners are ready for a little break after all this RL talk. We've covered a lot, from those fundamental ideas of MDPs and value
Yeah,
functions
right.
to the crazy power of policy gradient methods and self-play.
Yeah, and it's clear that RL has like a ton of potential both for, advancing AI and for solving real-world problems. It's true, and for you guys as CME students, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
You could delve deeper into RL research,
Yeah.
build your own agents, could contribute to these like cutting-edge projects, or even just, impress your professors with your newfound knowledge.
Well, that's all the time we have for this part of our RL deep dive. Stay tuned for part two, where we'll be exploring real-world applications and ethical considerations and some of the challenges and opportunities
Yeah.
that lie ahead in this fascinating world of reinforcement learning.
Welcome back to the deep dive.
That last part, I feel like my brain is like buzzing.
Yeah.
We talked about robots navigating Ween Hall, playing Atari games, and even mastering Go.
Yeah.
It's incredible how RL is like changing what machines can do.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, like, where is this RL magic happening in the real world? What are like the applications beyond the lab?
Well, think about like those recommendations you get on Spotify or Netflix. Like
Yeah.
those, you might also like suggestions. Those
Yeah.
are often powered by RL algorithms. Yeah, the agent is like learning your preferences and trying to predict what you'll enjoy based on, your past behavior and what other people with similar tastes like.
So it's like having a friend who knows my music tastes better than I do.
Exactly.
Okay, I see that.
Yeah.
But what about something a little more tangible, like something that interacts with the physical world?
Yeah, so one area where RL is making a huge impact is robotics.
Okay.
Imagine robots that can like learn to perform really complex tasks like assembling products in a factory, sorting packages, or even like assisting with surgery in a hospital.
Wow.
These robots can learn from their mistakes, adapt to new environments, and just get better over time.
That's incredible. It's like giving robots the ability to learn on the job.
Right.
No more like rigid programming. They can figure things out for themselves.
Exactly.
And CMU is like at the forefront of this robotics revolution. I mean,
Yeah.
think about the work happening at the Robotics Institute. They're building self-driving cars, robots that play soccer.
Yeah, exactly. And RL is like a key part of that.
No.
It's enabling robots to perceive their surroundings, make decisions, interact with the world in ways we never thought possible.
But it is not just robotics, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
RL is also finding applications in finance, healthcare, energy, even marketing.
So it's a real Swiss Army knife of algorithms.
We got it.
But with all this potential, are there any like downsides to RL? Any limitations or risks we should be aware of?
That's an important question. Like any powerful tool, RL has its challenges. One of the biggest hurdles is the computational cost.
Okay.
Training these complex RL agents can require a ton of data and processing power, which can be, expensive and time-consuming.
Makes sense.
And another issue is the reward hacking problem.
Oh.
Remember how we talked about agents trying to maximize their reward?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes they can find like clever ways to exploit the reward function without actually achieving the goal.
So it's like students who figure out how to game the system to get a good grade without actually learning anything.
Not exactly what we're going for. So we have to think carefully about how to design reward functions that are robust and actually guide the agent towards desirable behavior.
So it's like setting up guardrails to keep the agent on track.
Right.
But even with careful design, there's always a chance of unintended consequences.
Yeah, absolutely. As RL agents become more sophisticated and autonomous,
Right.
it's super important to consider the ethics of their actions.
Okay.
So, for example, in self-driving cars, we need to make sure the agent makes safe and ethical decisions
Right.
in all situations, even unexpected ones.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, it's a really complex issue.
No easy answers.
No easy answer.
But it's good to know that researchers are thinking about these ethical considerations.
Yeah, there's definitely a growing awareness of the need for responsible AI development, and RL is a big part of that.
So it's not just about building cool tech, it's about building tech that benefits humanity.
Exactly.
I think that's a great takeaway from this discussion. But before we wrap up part two,
Yeah.
I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about the computational cost.
Right.
It sounds like training these agents can be really resource intensive. Are there any ways to make RL more efficient?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's a very active area of research.
Hmm.
People are exploring all sorts of techniques to make RL more efficient, like using more powerful hardware, developing more clever algorithms, and finding ways to reduce the amount of data needed for training.
So it's a constant race to like push the limits while also making RL more accessible.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have for part two. We've explored those real-world applications, talked about some challenges and limitations, and even touched upon the ethical side of things.
And we've covered a lot of ground, but there's still more to explore.
You bet. Stay tuned for part three, where we'll delve into the cutting-edge research in RL and discuss what the future holds for this amazing field. I have a feeling it's going to be a wild ride. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've been on this awesome journey through RL. From robots and Wien Hall to algorithms making those personalized recommendations, we've seen how it's changing how machines learn and interact with the world.
Yeah, it's been quite a journey, and we're not done yet. So in this last part, let's like shift gears a bit and explore the cutting edge research that's happening in RL.
Okay, let's do it. I'm ready to have my mind blown again. What are the frontiers of RL research? Like, what are the big questions people are trying to answer right now?
One of the hottest areas is model-based RL.
Okay.
So we talked about those Monte Carlo methods that rely on like trial and error to learn.
Right, yeah, just trying things out
Yeah,
that are.
exactly. Well, model-based RL takes a different approach.
Okay.
It tries to build a model of the environment, like a simulation,
Okay.
that the agent can use to plan and make decisions.
So it's like giving the agent a virtual sandbox to try different strategies without like real-world consequences.
Exactly. It can really speed up learning and make RL work for problems where like real-world experimentation is too expensive or dangerous.
Right. Like imagine training a self-driving car in a simulator before you let it loose on the streets.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's super cool.
Yeah.
Are there any other research directions in RL that you're excited about?
Yeah, another area that's really pushing the boundaries is meta learning.
Meta learning. Okay.
So this is about teaching agents to learn how to learn.
Wow.
Instead of training an agent for one specific task, we train it to like quickly adapt to new tasks that it's never seen before.
So it's like giving the agent a set of learning tools and it figures out how to use them to solve new problems.
Exactly. This has huge potential to create AI systems that are way more versatile and adaptable. Imagine an agent that can learn to play a new video game in just a few minutes, or a robot that can adjust to a new manufacturing process really quickly.
That's like straight out of science fiction.
Yeah.
But it also makes me wonder, as these RL agents become more sophisticated and can learn on their own, what does that mean for us humans, like the engineers and researchers? Will we be able to create AI that can design and improve itself?
That's a big question.
Yeah.
Some people believe we're on the path to this like artificial general intelligence where AI will be better than humans at everything. Others think human creativity and ingenuity will always be necessary.
It's a debate that's going to go on for a while, but one thing's for sure, RL is leading this AI revolution, and it's an awesome field to be a part of, especially here at CMU, where so much cool research is happening.
Absolutely. CMU is like a hub for RL research with amazing faculty and projects. If you're interested in this, there's no better place to be. There's so many ways to get involved, take courses, attend seminars, join research labs, contribute to open source projects.
I love that. A call to action for all the RL fans out there. This deep dive has been an amazing journey. We've covered everything from those core ideas of MDPs and value functions to these mind-blowing concepts like model-based RL and meta-learning. We've seen real-world applications, talked about challenges and limitations, and even thought about the bigger picture of what it means to have these intelligent agents.
Yeah, it's been a great exploration, and I hope everyone listening has a better understanding now of the power of RL and all its potential. It's a field that's always changing, so who knows what amazing discoveries are just around the corner.
Well, that's all the time we have for our RL adventure. We hope you've enjoyed it and found a new appreciation for this incredible field.
Keep exploring, keep learning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible with RL.
Until next time, this is the Deep Dive, signing off.
Yep.